right, is everyone ready?
As ready as can be.
Excellent. All right, welcome back to the two of you. when we last left off, our adventurers had discovered a bit of additional information, choosing now to go visit the individual named Talgorian to find more information about what the drow might be doing. The party made their way over to him to find him lavishly enjoying the finer things in life, that which had been left behind by the elves, going to go seek refuge in the faraway land of the great beyond. Speaking with him and enjoying a bit of time together, the rest of you had a quick chat, saw what he had to offer, but eventually were told that this individual had seen some strange elves, some ones who hadn't decided to go to the great beyond. Instead, these elves decided to hole themselves up in the observatory. They were strange, oddly tan-skinned elves, but Talgorian didn't think much of it. After enjoying his company and enjoying being a roundabout word for it, you all decided to get some rest, find some shelter, and you went to the Fluted Goblet to get some rest and prepare for the next day. And this is where we begin. Bruman, you hear the sound of faintly clattering rain just outside the building as you awaken. And you look and you see that Mew happens to be standing close towards the door with his ear pressed against the door as he sees you awake and says, "Ah, Bruman, you're awake. Did you sleep well?"
"As well as can be expected, considering the circumstances. How about you?"
"Decently enough. I had noticed that it was a new moon. And, well, the new moon is a special time for me and my patron, the goddess of nothingness. The time when the sky is most empty. It was a fulfilling night, to put it lightly."
"Give a light nod."
"How are you feeling, Bruman?"
"He considers and then gives a shrug."
"Not too poor, I hope."
"Been better, been worse. Still alive, so, you know, can't complain."
"Yes, though I guess you could say alive again," and Mew does move a little bit closer as he says this. "How do you feel?" "Death is not a thing that most people take lightly."
"Indeed, and it ought not be taken lightly. But, well, we have other things to think about. We need to get our task done."
"Indeed. All right, go awaken Sadra and the others. Actually, I think Sadra might be one of the few ones left. Manon stepped out to scout with Sapana Bruman. Katsu's also taking some time to get additional rest. It might not seem like it, but he expended quite a bit of his energies removing the poison that we had received earlier on. He's the only cleric that could actually help us before we had rather negative reactions to all the poison that was in our system.
He has well deserved his rest.
I unfortunately don't have as much food as I would like, but at least it's something. A little bit better than travel rations.
I'm sure it tastes like a feast for kings.
Perhaps a king for ants, but that's another story. Could you please go wake Sadra?
Sure. He'll get up and go gently wake up Sadra.
And as you reach down to kind of give her a shake, she speaks out and says, "It's all right. I'm awake. Is it time to get up then?"
I think so. We should probably get going and not waste any more time than we can.
All right. I'm ready. Thank you. And she will proceed to get up. And she'd been laying there awake for a little while. But now she gets up and she's ready for the business that is ahead.
All right. And you see, as you come out of your rooms back into the main lobby area of the Fluted Goblet, you see Mew has commandeered a few things. It seems to be some sort of breakfast salad, nothing cooked. And you see Mew shrugs and says, "I was afraid to light a fire. Afraid that the smoke might draw unwanted attention."
Wise decision. But Brew will eat his food as though it is a feast fit for kings.
And this is your breakfast salad. All right. Eat up. Do you hear that? The sound just outside the door.
Sadra hears it. I rolled a natural 20 on a perception check.
Hey, you do hear it, and at first it sounds like rain. Then, as you listen more closely, it sounds more like hail. The sharp staccato clicks of ice as it pelts down against the rooftops and cobblestones. And he says, "I looked out the door and Manon, Maneha, and Sadra went scouting. It sounds like hail, but it isn't." And he actually reaches into his waistcoat and pulls out a tiny, black, very porous rock. Something that almost looks like pumice. He says, "Ever since late last night, he's been falling from the sky." And he looks to two of you and says, "I think today is our final day. It's now or never."
"Then it has to be now.
We must be careful, but time truly is of the essence." "Have we still decided that we're going to the observatory?"
"I believe that is our best bet."
"All right. Like I said, Manon has already gone scouting. We should be able to meet up with her there, but We want to make sure that we stay out of sight as much as possible as well. Does everyone have what they need? Does everyone have the rest that they need? I don't think we'll get another chance once we step outside this door.
Well, unless you happen to have some more oil of silence for my gun, I think I'm probably as prepared as I can be.
Unfortunately, not any oil of silence. If your gun happened to be paralyzed, I could help out with that, but not silence.
That's all right. I guess I'll try to hold back and let you and Bruman go first, then.
I'm not entirely used to being on the front lines, but I'll do what I can. All right. With breakfast complete, shall we go? Sadra, you are the one who had the best look at the map from up above.
Right. Well, I think our best bet is it should be in that direction. And she will generally point in that direction. I don't have that map at this point.
Yes.
So.
All right. And as you make your way down from the lobby back down to the front door where you see Mew had actually stacked up a cabinet in front of the door. Just in case anyone tried to rush the room, you guys would have at least a few seconds of preparation before they managed to break their way in. And you watch as Mew actually unleashes his tentacles and uses it to move the cabinet itself back over and opens the door. And as you look outside, you can see the ground seems to be littered with very faint, small but faintly steaming stones, much like the one he showed you before, but they seem to be absolutely everywhere, ranging from about the size of a golf ball all the way down to the size of a frozen pea. Most of the ones are closer to the size of a pea, but as you step out, you can feel your feet crunch on top of the stones as they turn to powder beneath your feet. And he says, be careful not to get hit by one of these. We encountered these in Middleport as well. Just right before the Cypher Gate. Well, the incident is well known enough. I'm not sure if you were there, Sadra, though.
No, I don't think so. But I can imagine. And, she just kind of takes it all in.
Yeah, and you look around and the entire area seems significantly more bleak. Before, the area already was black and white and ever so slightly dreary. Now it seems even more so. Many of the buildings are taking minor damage, windows being cracked, spiderwebbed, and eventually broken as tiny hailstones of dark, strange rock fall from the sky. And as you look back up at the sky, you can see the sky, you can see the clouds. But what catches your attention most of all is the blot. But now it doesn't look like a misty haze of clouds that stands before the sun. Now it seems to be a hole, deep and infinite, not just into the sky, but into a dark area far beyond. You can see strange alien stars that don't match anything that you know of from the constellations you've seen. and far off what seems to be just the faintest flicker of light. This brilliant orange star that seems to shimmer, flicker, and twinkle. But just from the light of it, you can tell that it's radiating a terrible heat and coming with almost dizzying quickness. A star called from heaven is on its way. And you get the feeling that you have about 15 hours at best before it makes its final meeting with the world around it. And the world is changed forever.
Sadra goes all business. She's going to make her way as quickly as possible to the observatory.
All right. Are you just going to go on your own, or are you going to attempt to make it your way without being seen?
She will attempt to be undetected.
Excellent. Make a stealth check in that case. Very nice. 31 from you. Berman?
6.
Berman, as you're making your way, you, oddly enough, doesn't seem nearly as confident about his stealth abilities as he usually is. And you can actually see shifting shadows where normally you would see nothing. But as you make your way through the stones and you try and make your way quietly, the stones, it's almost like trying to stealth across styrofoam popcorn. With every step that you take, the stones crack and crunch and crackle underneath your feet. And as you try to be quiet, it's hard. It's very difficult. And every once in a while, some of the smaller stones will fall from the sky and ping you across the shoulders. You try and keep them away from your face and your eyes. And it's miserable going. But you seem to make it most of the way up to the observatory. And you can see the building. You're about 150 feet away before an individual comes and makes his way up to you and says, "Halt, state your business here."
Sadra is going to attempt. She's going to attempt to bluff that they're there on business from. I forgot his name. But that they're on official business from the guy that invented this place, whose name I forgot.
So yeah, what would you like to say? Or make your bluff check and then let me know. What do you say to the guard?
All right. It's a 15 for bluff.
All right. Okay. What would you like to say to the guard?
Step aside, please. This is urgent business. We must go inside immediately. As you can see, there's no time to lose. And things must be prepared. Yeah. And she will use the name of the elf sorcerer who created Armageddon's Echo, but I can't find his name written down and I've forgotten it.
He actually seems to be... Aslant, as you recall, was more human. But yes, Aslant was the one who worked on the gateway to the Great Beyond. The portal that would seemingly lead to a different place. Armageddon's Echo, honestly, you guys haven't discovered why Armageddon's Echo itself currently exists. The last that you heard, the portal was designed to go to the Great Beyond, the place that the elves had made as a safe refuge. And as you invoke the name of Aslant, you see the guard's eyes narrow and says, "Well, I haven't received any paperwork for this. Could you please explain why you're here by the observatory as opposed to the gateway platform?"
Does this guy look like the gray elves that are around that have, like, reset and stuff?
Yes, he does appear to be so.
Okay, so he's not, like, obviously drow or anything?
No, he's not obviously drow.
Sidra will detect evil on him, just to be sure.
Okay. You focus in on this individual, and as your eyes focus, and as your eyes open, do you detect a faint nimbus of evil on him?
Then she will... How close is he to her?
I'd say he's not within hugging distance. He's about 10 feet away. He's holding up his hand, trying to keep you from coming on to the restricted premises.
Okay, then she will look over towards the other two and try to... She can't cast message. Let's see. What would she have to roll to try to motion to Mew that this guy is not a good person?
To present a secret message to another individual, I believe that is a bluff check.
Okay, then she will attempt to bluff and kind of look to the others and hopefully communicate that idea to them as she looks to him momentarily before looking to the others and say, "Well, I was not told that we would encounter such stiff resistance from the local guardsmen. I thought we were all on the same side here." And she will roll her bluff check.
Okay.
And that is a 27 per bluff.
Okay, very nice. Are you going for... Well, it doesn't matter if it's a simple message or a complex message. You actually passed both DCs.
Yeah, in essence, she wants both Bruman and you to know that this guy... that this guy is not necessarily just one of the guards. That he is potentially an enemy.
All right. Mew seems to nod and pick up on the circumstance. And you see, says, "Yes, I apologize. I thought that we would be allowed through immediately. Our paperwork is forthcoming, but if you would be so kind as to escort us to the front door, I'm sure that we can get this rectified rather quickly. And the guard narrows his eyes and says, sorry, can't do that. You stay here until I'm told otherwise. And you see his hand seems to go down to his sword. Not drawing it out or anything, he's just resting his hand in its general direction.
Well, if we have to wait, could we not at least wait somewhere where there's shelter from this rain of hellfire and stone?
You could go back to where you came from.
How populated is the street right now?
Not particularly. Most people by this point have abandoned the city. The moment brimstone started falling from the sky, most of the people who weren't convinced were like, okay, I can see where this is going. And left. Late at the night. So yeah, at most one or two stragglers other than you guys and the guards. And they're a distance away.
Is this the only guard that we see, or are there multiples?
There are two guards. The one who is speaking with you and one who's standing a little bit further back, looking ready to back him up or what have you as the need is required.
What does the building itself look like?
Oh, the building itself is actually rather large and opulent. You can see what appears to be a planetary system or orrery that seems to be orbiting up at the very top of the building. It's black and white, but you can see streaks of magic flickering and flowing off of it.
Does it look like there are other entry points that we could get in at?
You do see a door about 80 feet beyond your current position.
Are there any windows that we could reach?
Most of the windows are relatively high up.
Okay. Sadra will look to the others and say, well, I suppose if we're not going to be allowed in, there's no sense in standing out here with these buffoons. You can be sure that this will be added to our report.
It's the end of the world, my friend. I'm not entirely worried about something that'll happen tomorrow.
And yet you stay here anyway. Are you so sure that will happen?
Looks up at the sky and says, I'm sure. Though I'd prefer to be at my post when the end comes.
Sadra will turn to go.
Alright, Mew will follow. Oh, and this is what the observatory looks like.
Once they get a reasonable distance away and out of sight line, she's going to try to group up with everybody again.
Alright, not a difficulty.
And, basically, she says, I think we need to come to a conclusion about what we're willing to do to finish this. We're on quite a timetable.
indeed just a few hours.
Out of character, can you remind me what we're doing at the observatory?
Talgorian had mentioned that he saw some very strange dark-skinned drow there. Or dark-skinned elves, because he drow didn't exist at that point in time.
All right, and we believe the drow have the key? Is that why?
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. Just making sure. It's been a while.
It has.
There's a door just a little bit further around the side of the building. It's not very far, but if we come back carefully, they may not see us. But if they do see us, we have to decide how far we're going to go. These are echoes, but they're echoes of, well, I don't really know. He had a shadow of darkness in him, but he did not feel like the drow from the other night.
Interesting. What are the thoughts on making a distraction and trying to take them down quickly? Non-lethal force and all that.
Well, I would be all for that. I don't have a non-lethal setting, though. So alternate means I would not be nearly as effective. Perhaps, Bruman, do you think that you could take them?
Define take them.
Perhaps subdue one. Keep them quiet while you do so.
Both of them?
I could at least attempt one. Though I'm not as good at subduing people as you would happen to be. Also, and he shrugs, very few non-lethal settings.
I can try, but I can't guarantee anything.
I don't think any of us can. Trying is the best that we've got right now. So is that what we're attempting? Subdue the guards and make our way inside.
Here's the next question. If we touch them, will they simply reset?
That's typically how things have gone.
Then perhaps if one of us can get them to chase them away from the doors, then the moment there's contact, they'll reset. But the others could have already gone inside.
I can try. When the time comes around again. I would just have to convince them both to chase me, and that's the difficult part.
Well, even if one chases, then, well, I suppose if they're just going to reset, we can just push past them. They'll just keep resetting.
That could work. Most that can happen is we be rude to them, and if they don't reset,
then we have to subdue them.
Sounds like a plan to me.
So we're trying to draw them away, and if that doesn't work, then stop them quietly? Is that the plan?
Yes, and if they end up resetting, well, we just bull rush our way through. Each time they try to grab us, they should go back to where they were before.
All right. Well, then we should go ahead and start. There's no time to lose.
All right. I can attempt the distraction.
Just pray it's not like that other lady.
Sadra is going to attempt to stealth back up. She's going to try to get close without being seen by the guards.
All right. He looks to the rest of you and says, "Here goes nothing. I'm going to try something a little different." And you see Mew closes his eyes and focuses inward for just the barest of seconds before you see his skin ripples and almost seems to flip over like individual panels. And over the course of 2, possibly even 3 seconds, you see Azalant standing before you, or at least the individual that Menon had described as Azalant. He says, "Let's see if we can put a verification to your initial indications." And Mew is going to walk out. For anyone who would like to make a stealth check, please feel free to do so.
All right, Sage has a 24.
Excellent. Brumin, do you also just make your way straight up?
How far away did we get?
I'd say about 200 feet or so. Just out of line of sight.
Head back that direction, but not necessarily with Azalant. Oh, wait. No, we told them that we were working for him, huh?
He did.
Okay, sure. Because stealth isn't really his forte.
All right. So you make your way up with Azalant, and you see the two guards come around. They look at you, and you see they both stand up a little bit straighter as they see that you actually did bring Azalant out of his tower to come talk to these guards personally. They weren't expecting that. And you see Mew says, "Now I heard that you turned my messengers back at the door. Is this correct?" You see the two guards say, Sorry, sir. We were told not to let anyone in." I said, "And could you tell me by whom you were given this instructions?" We say, look at each other and say, "Well, your previous employers, sir, the elves, they said that they had spoken with you and that they were not to be disturbed while they were inside this building." And you see, Mew gives them a hard look, and Mew's going to make a bluff check to see if he can convince them. No, he cannot. And you see, he says, "Well, I don't know anything about these drow. But what I say is you let these ones in." And they look at each other and say, "Drow? What a drow?" And you see, he curses under his breath. And he says, "Of course, I meant the strange elves." And you see, they look at him oddly, and they say, "Azalant has a bit of a more interesting presence than you. The magic from him just practically radiates, and I don't feel that from you." At this point, not only do they put their hands on their swords, but they draw them as well. And you see Mew raises his hands and says, whoa, let's not get so hasty. But at this point, he's looking around because he's like, I'm a caster, and these guys have swords on me, and they are right next to me. What would you guys like to do?
Sadra is going to draw her pistol from her stealth position, but she's going to wait, because at this point I think Mew and Brumin were supposed to retreat and try to draw them away.
You see, say, Mew looks and says, "Fine. You've got it. I'm not Aslant. But someone with Aslant's face can get into some interesting trouble. Esmu's going to attempt to turn and run away. They're both going to take this tax of opportunity on him. First one actually manages to hit, but... Hey! The first one actually does manage to seem like he would get a hit in on Aslant, right where his... back in his lower kidney as he just makes a jab. But it's almost as if Aslant leaves an after image behind as he skips over half a step to the side and just begins to book it out of there. They are going to make a sense motive. No, both of them rolled very poorly. As they say, "Hey, you, stop there!" And they're going to start running after Mew.
As soon as they have gone past and they're maybe 50 or 60 feet away, Sadra is going to make her way stealthily up to the doors and see if they are locked or if they push open.
Okay. The doors do not seem locked, actually.
Check for chaps.
That pigeon. Yes. Perception.
Oh no, Brew was saying that himself.
Then, she will check the door for traps.
Okay, make a perception check.
That is a 30.
Okay, just as you're slowly starting to open the door and you hear Brewman's voice just in the corner of your ear, you're like, this would probably be a good idea. And you look around and you see just at the bottom of the door, a tiny line that is taut and at this point with how far you've opened the door is close to breaking, but hasn't broken yet. It does appear to be some sort of tripwire.
All right, well, I wish Manon was here. It's trapped. There's some kind of a wire at the bottom. We can do this, right? Brewman, have you ever done traps?
Only one, and that was a very lucky, very, very, very lucky, very lucky time.
Well, could you give me a hand with it?
I'll try.
Can Brewman give an aid another on disabled device?
I would say yes.
Okay, well, I have 17 total, plus whatever the aid another would be.
I believe it is plus 2. So total of 19. You go to disable trap, and it's hard, tense work. As you realize that you're very much on time limit, because as soon as they give up on chasing Mew, they're going to come back and they're going to see you fiddling with the door that you're not supposed to be at. But you work and you actually pull out a knife and you're like, okay, I can make sure that it's tied around this and it'll only go back halfway. As soon as you let it out. So you wrap it around the blade of the knife and you slowly let it back. But as you let it back, you can feel it fraying on your knife and you go to run and catch it. But it trips anyway. And hang on, let me just double check. Yeah, I need a reflex save from both of you. Okay.
Twenty-six.
Very, very nice. As you feel it leave your grasp, and you realize, I did not manage to get that in time. Both of you give a half-second glance at one another as both of you jump to opposite sides of the door. And you feel a quick puff of air as a strange cloud billows outward away from the door. But then dissipates harmlessly. Brimwyn, you get a faint whiff of this strange scent, and it's powerful, it's strong, but it's not nauseous. It's odd. You're not exactly sure what this could be used for. But whatever it is, it didn't manage to get on either one of you. So you are very fortunate. Yeah, so the trap has been set off, and the doors stand open before you.
Sadra will go ahead and draw her pistol, have it ready, and nod towards Brumman to go first.
He'll give her a look of, oh, that was close, but I have the shield up and ready, and probably, since we think there's drow inside, he'll go ahead and draw his sword just to be safe, and he will peek inside really quickly as, you know, so he doesn't have a whole lot of time.
All right, you peek inside the door. Where you see the entry hall. Inside the gilded doors sprawls a grand entry hall with richly woven carpet running from the doors to a large silver orrery, a model of the sun and the planets quietly spinning in time. It's about 15 feet tall, and the planets themselves are about the size of large watermelons. And as you look, you can see quite a few planets. In fact, 11 planets all circling the sun, slowly rotating silently.
But no one in sight?
No one in sight.
He'll glance at Sadra and go, if this were another time, this would be a really neat place. And he'll go inside.
No doubt. Is this your solar system? So many planets. Makes ours seem mostly empty.
Do you hear the sound of the guards slightly off in the distance, grumbling and complaining loudly about where did he go, etc.? You get the feeling that in just a few moments they'll probably be coming back to their post.
You know, I hadn't thought about how Mew is going to get back with us. Perhaps we should try to find that side door and open it. Maybe he'll come over there.
And she will go ahead and probably take one kind of peek back out before pushing the doors back closed so they appear like they did before.
Okay. And just as the doors appear back closed, you watch as it almost looks like an ink spot seems to grow on the finely woven carpet. It's almost as if a strange shadow has passed in front of the sun, but you know that there's no shadow. And it's strange and quite obviously magical. For a moment, you see Mew takes a step out of the shadow and takes a breath and says, well, not trying that again.
Sadra, who as soon as she saw a magical incantation of dark shadow magic spawning inside of this place that's filled with drow, she leveled her pistol at it, and when it turned out to be Mew, she dropped the barrel and breathed a heavy sigh of relief.
Mew, there's got to be a way that you can warn us if you're going to do that.
I could try, but unfortunately I was slightly out of range of a message, and Dimension Door doesn't really leave a lot of time to give a prior warning.
Alright, well, at least we're all here together. Where should we go? It looks like there's a couple of side halls and then two other doors.
Indeed. So there's a door to, as he looks up at the Ori, points over and says, there's a door to the east, there's a door to the west, and there's a door to the southeast, and there's a door to the southwest. I'll leave it up to you to choose where to go.
Well, the two to the south seem like they're more likely to go into the building. Deeper, anyway, and that's probably where we need to go. I don't know much about elven architecture, but I know that at home, the palaces, all of the more important rooms are always towards the middle of the building. Bruman, what do you think?
Sounds reasonable.
All right, fair enough. Then southeast or southwest?
Sadra looks like she has no reason to pick one or the other, but finally points to the one in the southeast.
All right, southeast it is.
Drew once again recommends checking for traps.
Would you like to do so?
Sadra will go ahead and take another look at the door.
Okay.
And that is a 34.
34. You check up and down along this and along the sides of the door. As now you know what to look for, but you don't see any traps on this door. It seems this door happens to be clean.
Well, that's a surprise. It looks like this one is untrapped.
Let's be careful opening it anyways.
Well, you'll be opening it, so be careful.
And she smiles a little bit before stepping back from the door.
All right.
He will try it. Is the door unlocked?
Door is also unlocked.
It's getting very suspicious, so he will try to not be anywhere that's directly in front of the door as he opens it.
All right. I'm assuming you push the door open. And as you do so, you look into the room. And you see the far wall of this small chamber is covered by a massive chart showing thousands of stars. Over 24 small pins have been driven into the map, plotting a course through the heavens. On the floor in front of the chart is a pile of discarded papers. But oddly enough, around these papers, you see individuals in armor who all look towards the suddenly opened door. As about 6 drow all turn their heads towards you and begin clambering to their feet. I need both of you to roll for initiative.
Fourteen,
you said?
Correct.
Okay.
11.
All right. All right. No, you don't. As you step into the door and as each of these individuals get up, you watch as, they all rolled really well. They all end up going before you guys, as they all pull out their crossbows. and point them at you. And for the split second, as they begin aiming, you realize we didn't protect ourselves from poison today. All right. So, first one is going to, take an attack at... In fact, there are six of them. There are three of you, so two attacks per person. Equal opportunity drow.
Does Sager get any cover for being pretty much behind Brew?
I'll say you get a partial cover, plus two to your AC.
I will take that.
First one misses Berman. Rolled terribly. Second one rolls the same thing. Two twos in a row. All right. As he fires both of his crossbow bolts, Berman, you already have your blade out. And you manage to twirl a very quick figure eight as you knock both crossbow bolts out of the air. All right. Next two go to Sedra. As that one misses Zadra. I rolled a two, and a three.
Well, we did surprise them.
This is true. And they're not used to it. Okay, Zadra, does a 27 hit?
Yes.
Okay. The very first one, you manage to skip over to the side. But as you do so, another one flicks out of the air and drives itself into your shoulder. And you take 5 points of piercing damage, and I need you to make a fortitude save.
All right. She grunts painfully as she takes the hit. But she has a 32 for her fortitude save.
You are fine. Poison has no effect on you. All right. That is a two against Sedra. The next one is going to fire at Mew. And that definitely hits Mew. But we're going to see if he can bypass a 50% mischance. No! Mew is super lucky. As you watch, it passes right where Mew was for a split second. Once again, you see the quick flickering after image of his form flicker over to the side as he thanks his lucky stars he's currently not in one of his suits of armor, because that turns off when he's in them. All right, and the last one... seeing the circumstance, he's going to lower his crossbow and flick out his other hand. And you see the area around his fingertips seems to flicker for a split second before he closes his fist and drops a globe of darkness on himself and the rest of the drow in the room. Because he's like, I don't want to get hit. And this is what drow are known for. Their poison and the darkness. Okay, that ends their turn. Up next is Mew. Mew is not happy at the guy who shot at him and the guy who dropped the darkness. So Mew is going to attempt to kill the guy in order to dispel the darkness. As Mew turns towards him and focuses his eyes, and Brumin, as you watch Mew, you watch as you've seen his eyes shift from different colors, from red to green to orange, and even to a strange swirling color. This is the very first time that you actually see his eyes go black as onyx. As he stares at the individual who dropped down the darkness field, and you see a faint trickle of almost what looks like ink falls from the corner of his eye. No! And that drow terribly fails his fortitude save with a natural one. And you feel a slight chill in the air as you watch that individual. From the darkness, it appears that he turned to stone. Though he is officially, technically, he is not dead. Though very much helpless. Yeah. But the darkness is still up, but you can see within 5 feet. Yeah, so you get the feeling that a single swing from your blade would probably shatter this guy and dispel the darkness. All right, up next is Sadra.
Okay. So he is helpless.
He is.
But it is a full round action to coup de grace someone, right?
It is.
Good to know. But the darkness is still up.
It is.
And so he's the only one we can see, or we can't see him.
How far do you have dark vision at all?
No. Sager does not have dark vision.
Ooh. Bruman has 5 feet of dark vision. So he can see within 5 feet of him. The darkness covers, if I remember correctly, 20-foot radius, so 40-foot diameter, and that basically covers the entire room.
Okay.
But you can try to pinpoint an individual and attack them. It would be a 50% mischance, but this room has a lot of people in it.
Let's see. Would it be possible for Sadra to essentially change her initiative slot and go after Bruman?
Sure. Holding your action?
Well, I would like to hold a full round of attacks until after the light situation has changed, but I don't know if I can do that or not.
I believe there is a way that you can hold your initiative slot until afterwards. I'll have to do a little more research on it. It's not a common thing. But until then, I will say yes, you can do it.
Okay, then she would like to go right after Bruman.
We will shift your initiative to one below Bruman. All right, that takes us to Bruman.
So is the guy with the darkness, the guy that turned to stone, is he like legit within 5 feet of Brew?
Yes, he is.
Okay, so he wouldn't have to move, right?
Having a very difficult time hearing you.
He wouldn't have to move then.
Oh, that is correct.
Okay, I guess he'll do the deeds then with his sword. Probably a flame if he can do that.
Okay, yes you may, because you did say you pulled out your sword ahead of time. So okay,
Do I need a roll for that?
Go for it. Basically, the only way you'd miss is on a natural one, but still.
Well, that was a two.
Yes, it is also an autocrit. But I'm assuming it still beats a 10, because he's not going anywhere. Excellent. Make your second attack. Congratulations, both are crits. Oh, yes, please roll for damage. See if you officially kill this guy, though I would be very surprised if you did not. Two back-to-back crits. This is correct, though, Lorien, did you do a coup de grace, or was it just a full round attack? Because if it was a coup de grace, I believe that does brook an attack of opportunity, which... Oh, okay. In that case, two of the... Well, they had their crossbows out instead of their scimitars, so... They cannot make an attack with their crossbows. So yeah. If you're going to go with a coup de grace instead, if you're going to go with coup de grace instead, it will almost certainly kill him. Yes. If you go with a coup de grace, they don't have their scimitars out yet. They will very shortly. But, yes, that will kill him because he did not make his fortitude save. And as you bring your blade about, you feel your blade hiss and sizzle as you realize he hasn't been turned to stone. He just seems to be covered in a strange form of pitch black ice. That melts very slowly, but as you bring your blade about, you can hear it hiss, sizzle, and pop as you just draw it straight through, the neck of the creature. And you hear the head fall to the ground with a very heavy and solid thunk.
And the lights come back on.
Yes, the lights do come back on, as he was the instigator. And I believe you had delayed your action until this point?
Yes, so there are five left, correct?
Five living drow remain.
All right. Whichever one is closest to any kind of an exit in this room space... she's going to target that one first.
Okay.
All right, first shot. Against touch is only a 14.
Oh, he actually manages to dodge out of the way. It's a shock. And I just wanted to double check, you are shooting instead of pistol whipping them, correct?
Yes.
Okay. You hear a loud explosion that nearly deafens each of you inside this small enclosed stone chamber. that rings out loudly as only a gunshot in a building can. But the guy sees it coming and manages to dodge.
All right, her second shot is 18 to touch.
That one does better. He does not manage to dodge this one.
All right, excellent. And she's going to shoot him with the third one, which is another 14 to touch. So two of them miss and one hit.
Okay.
And I'm guessing he is evil.
He is indeed. He's no Dristo Urden.
She deals 30 points of damage.
Hey, he's looking super hurt. As you fire three shots, one going for his head, which he just barely manages to duck out of the way, and it grazes his ear. The second one catches him in the calf as he stumbles forward. And the last one, you go to shoot him in the hand that's holding the crossbow bolt, but he manages to jerk it out of the way just in time. And you said 37, correct?
Just 30. 30.
Got it.
And then she's going to 5-foot step back through the doorway and try to get some cover from the doorframe.
Okay. And that leads us back to their turn. They're going to realize that their bows are not going to be beneficial because it's already entered close range combat. So they're all going to draw out their scimitars. And they're going to charge. Two. Yeah, I mean, they were just on the other side of the door. So two are going to come for, once again, Brumin. Two are going to come for, try and get around Brumin to get to Sadra, and then one is going to try and get around you both and get to Mew. And Mew also realizes he probably should have stepped back. Brumin. Does a 37 hit you? Okay. You take 6 points of slashing damage, and I need you to make a fortitude save. Hey, you can already feel the poison coursing through your veins as it slashes through your leather armor over into your flesh down below. And you clutch your arm as you step back, feeling the chilling, numbing feeling of the poison coursing through your arm. But you manage to fight against it. And because he moved, he can only make one attack, so the second one's going to attack. Does a 27 hit you, Brumin? Okay, you take another 6 points of damage. Once again, slashing, and you need to make another fortitude save. Hey, once again, you can feel them slash on your other arm. But, once again, the poison doesn't seem to take hold. Alright, Sadra, two are going to come over to you. And they're actually going to come on opposite sides of you to flank. Does a 26 hit you?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Take 5 points of damage, and you need to get fortitude save. I'm assuming they're still within the threat range of Brumen, since I'm assuming Sadra stayed within 5 feet of Brumen.
24 on the fortitude save.
Okay, you are still okay, as you feel the poison continues to build. Can we just a moment? Yeah, I was currently looking it up on Nero. Anyway, so yes, Brumen, you will get an attack of opportunity on both of them. So yes, Brumen, you may take your attacks of opportunity on both of these. And the next one is going to attack also Sadra. Uh, 28 to hit Sadra.
Yeah, that
okay.
Hits.
Another 5 points of slashing damage as they all just rush out of this room. And yeah, another fortitude save.
32.
You're still fine. Seems that they needed a stronger poison for you guys. Last one's going to come after Mew. Yeah, he hits Mew. And he does actually manage to hit. And Mew takes 3 points of slashing damage. And Mew needs to make a fortitude save. Well, unfortunately, nobody warned Mew to follow that practice, as he actually is not so great at fortitude saves. You watch as Mew stumbles back from the relatively quick singular blow, as his eyelids begin to grow heavy. And he collapses to the ground unconscious. Okay, next would be Mew's turn, but Mew is unconscious. So, Brumen, you're up next. Yeah, Mew succumbed to the poison, and he is now unconscious. Mew only got hit once, but that one hit was enough, as the drow had poisoned both their arrows and their blades. And he got struck and failed his fortitude save and dropped unconscious immediately. So I believe Bruman, you're up next. Then after Bruman is Sadra. Yes, and you do get attacks of opportunity on the two guys as well. In fact, three if you have the combat reflexes for it. Both of them hit. Roll for damage. Yeah, and after Bruman is Sadra. All right. Okay. So 17, 15, 19, and 13. Excellent. As you spin in almost a whirling dervish of flame, as you strike out as the drow try to come and surround you. Nope, not talking, just calculating the new healths of each of the guys that you hit. All right. Yeah, as a strike goes out to each of the creatures, you watch as they grunt, but they realize that they need to work quickly, otherwise that they will probably be overwhelmed. All right, Sager, you're up next.
All right, she is going to go ahead and... let's see, is two of them got up close enough to attack her, correct?
Correct.
All right, and can she... let's see. Which one of them looks like they're in the worst shape? Because she's basically going to start shooting from closest to death. Like, the ones that look like the worst off, she's going to shoot them first.
It looks like the guy you shot first is closest to death.
All right, then she will 5 foot step away from the people that are close to her. Were all of those rolls that Bruman just made attacks of opportunity, or did those include the attacks from Bruman's turn?
From his turn, I assume, as well, since he took 4.
Okay, in that case, she is going to go ahead and... fire on the closest to dead one.
Okay.
Oh, she's saying she has 4 attack opportunities. So.
Okay. Then it is technically still Bruman's turn then. I apologize. Okay, as you turn around and take a step forward, you take 2 attacks at the guy, and both of them hit. Roll for damage on both. Very nice. Okay. The one that took the poison attack against Mew, you turn around and give him 2 very quick slashes against the back, and you can see his ribs seem to be exposed. And he's breathing very heavily, but he is still up. Though, Sager, you now have a new target that looks the most damaged.
All right, then she will shoot him first.
Okay, go for it.
All right. Counting off the grit for focused shot. Alright, first attack is a 14 to touch.
14 to touch.
It's a natural 2.
Yeah, unfortunately, he, as damaged as he is, he still manage to sway out of the way and dodge it.
That's the 3rd natural 2 that I've rolled for attacks. So here's the 2nd shot going for the same guy. It's a natural 4, so I'm guessing a 11 doesn't hit either.
It does not, unfortunately.
Okay, and that's another natural 2. So, gonna throw some dice in the trash. I'll be right back.
Okay.
And, yeah, that's her action.
Okay. It is now their turn. Once again, they're gonna take two attacks against both of you, and the last one's gonna, he's still gonna attack Mew. Cause this is the perfect opportunity. Though the last one he's gonna, you know what? Trying to decide if he'd try to go for the coup de grace or not. No, Berman's too close. Okay. First one. So Brumman does a 37 hit. And the second one is a 27. Ah, good to know. You take 4 points of slashing damage and I need to make a fortitude save. Okay, you still managed to make it. All right, second slash. You take 3 points of slashing damage and one more fortitude save. You still make it. All right, that takes us to the two who are attacking Sadra. They're gonna just move back into position. Brumman, I think you get two more attacks of opportunity since they're just following Sadra. Though it depends, Sadra, did you move away from Brumman when you moved?
She would have tried to stay close to Brumman, not get too spread out. So if it's possible for her to have kind of stepped sideways so she's not backing away from Brumman but getting away from the two people.
That would be...
If it's not possible, then she would have just backed in whatever direction she needed to.
Okay, so that would have taken you a little bit further away from Brumman because if you stepped over to the side, one of the two that were flanking you, you would have just moved closer to him. So the way I'm envisioning it is all of you have stepped out of the door. Brumman is the closest to the door. Sager, you're right behind him with a drow to the left and right of you. Mew is immediately behind you with a drow that's basically standing over him. So I envisioned that you stepped back away from the two drow to get out of their threatened squares with your 5 foot step closer to Mew. So that would have taken you out of Brumman's range, and the two are just going to follow you.
Great, that's fine.
Okay. So, yeah, they're just going to attack. ...27 to hit, and... Natural one, okay. The second one misses and almost slashes the drow on the other side of you. So, yeah, Sadra stepped away and out of your range, unfortunately, Brumman. So if the first attack managed to hit you, that would be 4 points of slashing damage. And I need to make another fortitude save.
That is a 27.
You're fine. All right, and the last one is going to attempt to attack... Oh, actually... Brumman mentioned that he went to go attack... the one that went after Mew. So it had to be a triangle instead. Yeah, I'll rework it a little bit later, but yes, Brumin, he's still gonna attack Mew. And though he rolled terribly, Mew's not really dodging, so... that would be a 25 to hit. And as you go and pull your hand in front, he ends up bringing his blade down on top of you instead. Rather surprised. But you take 5 points of slashing damage. And I need you to make a fortitude save. Okay. Yeah. As the lash slash comes and hits you, you can feel all the poison continuing to build up in your system, as you also begin to feel the numbing effects on your mind. And yeah, you also unfortunately drop unconscious. Okay, Sadra. Yes, it is up to you.
All right. So, first shot is going to be for the one that just dropped both of her friends. And that is not a natural 2, which is a good thing. That is a 16 to touch.
That just barely hits.
Excellent. And that will do 22 points of damage.
Hey, as he stands looking triumphant as he managed to drop the big one, you just managed to put a bullet straight through his neck, and you watch as he drops, adding to the pile of bodies.
Excellent. Then she will turn, and she will shoot the next one, who seems the lowest on the totem pole.
Okay.
And that, ooh, that's a nice roll. That is a 25 to touch.
Ooh, that hits.
And that is 24 points of damage.
Okay, and you're going on the one who looks second most hurt?
Correct.
Okay. He's looking super hurt now, but still isn't dead.
Okay, then she's going to shoot him again.
Okay, go for it.
And that is a 26 to touch.
That hits.
And that's another 22 points of damage.
Oh yeah, he drops as you put a bullet straight through his sternum.
Then she will spin the pistol with a flourish, reloading it as a free action, and that's all she can do.
Okay. That leads it to their turns. They're not going to go for the coup de grace, but two are going to attack you. One's still going to attack Mew. Does a 26 hit?
On, sir?
Yes.
Is it ranged?
No.
Then yes, it hits.
Okay. Two, 3 points of slashing damage and a fortitude save.
That's a natural 20.
Beautiful.
So 36.
You ignore it completely. A second attack from the other drow. Another 26.
All right, that would also hit.
Another 4 points of slashing damage and another fortitude save.
All right, the fortitude save is 25.
You're fine. All right, last one's going to go after Mew. That's not a natural one, so it's an auto crit. He takes 12 points of slashing damage. Okay, and that ends their turn. Sadra, you're the only one who is still up currently.
Okay. The one that just hit Mew, does he look pretty hurt, unhurt? What does he look like?
Everybody looks hurt at this point. All okay. Just about equally hurt.
Okay, then she's going to go ahead and shoot him first.
Okay.
That is a 28 to touch.
That hits.
Hold on. Yeah, okay. 26 points of damage.
Very nice. As you clip him in the lower gut, you see he doubles over, but is still alive.
Is she going to shoot him again?
Go for it.
And that is a 23 to touch.
That hits.
Ooh, that's almost maximum damage. That is 32 points of damage.
He's dead.
And she's going to turn, and is there anyone else who's close to Mew or Bremen?
I mean, they're the two that are around you. They could probably get to your friends in one move action.
Okay, then she's going to shoot the one that is closest to Mew and Bremen.
Okay.
And that is a 29.
That hits. Roll for damage.
22 points of damage.
Okay, still alive. But looking very hurt.
Then she will... She's just going to hiss at him. It's a free action to hiss.
Okay. You hiss like an angry cat. How much damage did you do in the last one?
22 points of damage.
Got it. And recorded. Comes back to their turn. Yeah, they're going to try one more time to take you down. As the cuts are very quickly starting to build, and you're looking pretty unhappy, but yeah, still up. 26.
Uh, 26 hits.
5 points of slashing and fortitude save.
That's a 28 to fortitude.
You are still okay. Hit.
That is also a hit.
6 points of slashing damage and another fortitude save. Alright, you are still okay. Just don't roll a natural one. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Okay. That brings it back to your turn.
Alright. The one that is worst looking, she's going to shoot first.
Go for it.
That is a natural 20.
Finish him.
That is 26 times 4.
Oh yeah,
104 points of damage.
Yeah, he's super dead. He doesn't even have a face anymore.
She just like hip fires it right into his face. And then she's gonna turn and put the other two shots into the last guy.
Yep, go for it.
And one of those is also a natural 20. And
awesome.
The other one is a 15.
That would actually miss his touch.
So that would be 100 points of damage.
Yeah, he also, as you pull out your pistol one final time, you see he's actually reaching into his belt and he's actually fumbling around with a knife. And seems to be aiming it towards his own wrist, but right before he actually cuts it, you manage to put it straight through his temple as he drops.
Then she stands there for a minute, heart racing, and then kind of lets out a breath. And she's going to race over to Bruman and Mew and do a heal check to see if she can tell, is this the same sleep poison they dealt with before?
Yeah, you go and you place your hand underneath their nostrils. They're definitely still breathing. And you open their eyes, and the dilation is sluggish, but you do recognize it as the drow poison.
Okay, then she is going to break out smelling salts and try to wake them up.
Go for it.
All right. She will do Bruman first. So does Bruman get the save again, or how does that work?
Yeah, Bruman, as you feel or smell the sharp scent of smelling salts jolting you back to consciousness, your body jerks for a split second before you look around. And the room is already covered in gore, and you look and you see Sadra seems to have about 20 different cuts all over her body. But she is still standing, and she is bringing you back to consciousness. All right, as Bruman stands back to his feet, Mew still sleeps unconscious.
Sadra is going to have to wait for Bruman because she doesn't have any more smelling salts on her. So.
This is a fair point.
So she will go ahead and... as Bruman starts to wake up, she's going to just kind of lay her hand on Bruman's chest and say a quick prayer for him, and she's going to use a lay on hands.
Excellent choice.
So Bruman will get back 6 hit points.
Nice.
And she will do the same thing for herself. Bruman, do you have any more smelling salts from you?
Actually, I don't think he has any smelling salts. I don't remember who all took them.
Then she is going to go as nicely as she can sack Mew's body for smelling salts.
Yeah, you find there's a bunch of stuff on Mew's body, but you do find a vial of smelling salts.
All right, as soon as she finds it, does she find anything else interesting?
I mean, smoke sticks, spell books, sun rods, a music book from Chanson, some drow made boots, cloak of elvenkind, eyes of the eagle, ring of protection, a couple of scrolls, a stick that you would have to do some spellcraft checks on in order to determine. A couple of oils.
That's fine. She just pauses for a moment at the book, the music book from Chanson, and tries to remember if she remembered when Mew picked that up. And then she's going to use the smelling salts.
Okay. Hey, that's a much better roll. As you break the smelling salts underneath Mew's nose, you watch as Mew's body also jerks upwards, and he looks around, and breathes out, very thankful that he is still alive, because he knows how dangerous going to sleep in the middle of a battle can be. And he says, I don't know how else to put it, but thank you. What did I miss?
I think we missed Sadra taking out a bunch of drow.
And Mew looks at the carnage around them. And he says, I think so indeed. Interesting. Thank you, Sadra. I really mean it.
Just be more careful, both of you. Don't do that again.
And she smiles a little bit, but then winces because of all the cuts that she still has on her, and she's going to use Lay on Hands again. Does Mew look like he is also hurt pretty bad, probably?
I mean, he's definitely obviously hurt because he took a crit hit. Not too long ago, but he's seen worse, definitely.
All right, well, since she is the closest thing we have to a healer right now, such as it is, she is going to go ahead and do some praying over these guys.
Awesome.
Because it seems like they probably need it. And so there is 5 hit points for Mew.
He was extremely thankful.
And here is another 8 hit points for Mew. And how is Bruman doing?
He's looking great. Bruman?
Yeah, he's fine.
Are you sure?
I guess as close as we can be. Normally... I guess this is how dangerous the drow truly are. I don't think we've ever faced them without being immune to poison. I think this is how dangerous they're supposed to be.
Well, in any case, we should be careful. I don't think all of them had poisoned weapons, but we'll have to expect that most of them did.
I agree.
Do.
And he looks at your currently smoking gun and says, I'm not sure if we'll have the element of surprise for any further rooms.
Well, I'm not sure there was any choice, but I'm sorry I had to do that.
No, don't apologize. Just saying it so we can be prepared.
We should check the bodies. They may have something.
And she's okay. not actually going to go to the bodies. She's going to go over to all of the papers that they were gathered around on the floor and just scoop it all up and throw it in the bag of holding.
Okay. All right. You do so, and you can see a lot of them seem to have a lot of detailed notes on them, some calculations, etc. But you're just like, nope, no time. Just putting it all in the bag of holding, which you do. Mew goes over the bodies and says, hey, would you look at that? As he pulls out 6 potions of cure moderate wounds. Two potions of gaseous form. 2 potions of invisibility. 1 potion of levitate. 3 pairs of +1 leather armor.
Could I have 2 of those potions of cure wounds?
You are more than welcome to them. As he hands you 2 of the potions of cure moderate wounds.
Did you say that 2 of those are potions of invisibility? It may be good for Bruman to have those. Just in case we need to sneak.
True.
And could I take 1 of the gaseous form potions?
That's all yours. You never know when it'll come in handy.
Well, she is going to go ahead and use the potion of cure moderate wounds.
Okay.
Because she's still about 22 hit points short of where she wants to be. So that is 3d8, I believe.
Yes, that sounds right.
And is it +5, I think?
Think for, that for the lowest level, yes. Mew's going to take all the... Unless anyone else wants the leather armor, Mew's going to take those.
Okay, good deal. Sadra is looking and feeling a lot better now.
All right. Are we ready?
Ready as we'll ever be, I guess.
I don't suppose... The others gave us a meeting time and place.
They said they'd alert us when they were available.
He'll give a grim nod.
Did we ever actually officially search the room? Like... Find out what was in there, other than the drow who came out and we immediately stepped out.
I gathered up as much of those papers as I could find, but...
And she'll go ahead and do that. Take a look around the room.
Okay, make a perception check.
Never mind, that's the next natural 2. So that, I think, is only a 19.
Okay. You search around the room. Yeah, and you don't really find anything of note, actually. I mean, you find the astronomical charts and the additional notes, some of them written in common, some of them written in Elvish, most of them written in Elvish.
Yeah, and she grabs as much of that. Pretty much, if she thinks that it looks like it might be useful, she just throws it in the bag of holding.
Yeah. Make another perception check. Okay. As you're taking the papers and you're putting them in the bag of holding, it takes about a minute. You realize 2 minutes. And as you keep looking at the desk, you're like, man, this desk seems to never end. And then you get the foresight to watch the desk as you're placing the papers in your bag of holding. And as you, the moment they enter the bag of holding, they seem to reappear on the desk.
And then she stops and says, I don't think there's anything else in here.
And you says, it could be interesting to read them, but if we're on a timetable, it might be also a good idea to keep moving. I leave it up to you.
Well, I don't speak Elvish, so most of it I don't think I could make out.
Unfortunately, neither do I. Bruman, can you make heads or tails of anything?
Looking specifically at the papers or everywhere?
Do you speak Elvish? Or do you read Elvish?
No.
Unfortunately, nobody in the current party reads Elvish. Okay. The papers are all gibberish. Unfortunately. And you get the feeling the moment that they leave the plane to any other plane, they immediately return back to their initial position. All right. So I'm assuming you guys head back to the main foyer?
Yes.
Very carefully, though. Very, very carefully.
Okay.
There's no other door out of this room. It's just a single room.
Yeah, it appears to be so.
Okay.
All right. Heading back to the main chamber. There is a door directly to the east, to the west, and then southeast, which is where you just came from, and then southwest. Where would you like to go?
Well, I don't suppose that surprise is going to be on our side, so we might as well just go for it. Straight across?
You can try straight across, but let's maybe not try to go up against six at one time if we can maybe get it less.
I'm not sure if they're taking requests, unfortunately.
Do you happen to have some rope? Or twine, or anything like that?
Huh, apparently I'm a very bad adventuring. A bad adventurer, and I don't have rope. I will rectify that the next time we go back to town.
Yeah. Next time we'll bring Manon and Zipana.
Yes, Zipana always has all of those things.
Yes, well, if they weren't scouting, I'm sure they would be here. We'll just have to be careful. I don't think the drow poison is something that's going to go away anytime soon. So you guys head straight across?
Yes, and Sadra will check for traps.
Go for it.
That is a 26.
Okay, you search the door, checking to see if anything seems to be out of place, anything that could hide some vials or needles or some gears, twine, or additional mechanisms. You don't seem to find any.
This one also looks unlocked.
It appears to be not trapped, but does appear to be locked.
Oh, sorry, misspoke. This one appears to be untrapped, but locked.
Did you hear anyone inside?
Did you hear anyone on the other side, or is that a separate check?
That would be a separate check, since the very first one you were looking for traps specifically.
Okay, that's a 29.
29. You hear the sound of very softly shuffling feet.
And she will nod yes, and then point to the lock with the tip of her gun and indicate that she could blast the lock if they wanted to go in quickly.
General Mew, quick question.
Sorry?
Brood's addressing Mew with a question.
Yes.
Do you remember that dragon that went inside the other dragon?
Mew blinks for a moment and thinks as he's trying to recall what you might exactly be talking about.
In the Dwarven Fortress. The ice dragon, I think is what it was.
Oh, yes.
Graevar pulled them out, and you and Thea flanked either side of the door. Would that work on this one too, or would that not be such a great idea?
I mean, honestly, staying near the door would probably be best, for at least for me. Next time, it's best for me to be closer to the back. But yes, it could work.
If I stay near the door, then everybody that comes through, I can at least try to hit.
Yes.
And Sadra, you're ranged, so you can stay across the way.
As long as I still have an angle, I'll be fine.
Right, is this what we want to try?
I leave it up to you two.
Sadra nods her assent. Sounds good.
Okay. We follow your lead.
And she will wait till everyone is in their positions, and then she will step back a little bit from the door, and she's going to use the blast the lock ability from Utility Shot. So using one grit, she is going to blow the lock on the door.
Okay, and as you use one grit, instead of fiddling with the intricacies of the lock itself, you just completely remove the doorknob completely as you kick open the door. And all right. As you look inside, this long chamber contains two tables. Where a group of what appears to be scholars are hard at work. studying a host of charts and making complex calculations. Watching over them are not drow, but strange creatures with reddish, almost melting skin that has a burning ember down beneath the cracks. And as the door bursts open, both of these creatures turn in a direction and grin a wicked smile. I need you guys to roll initiative again.
All right, and I'm going to go ahead and burn the grit in my grit ring to give myself a +2 to my initiative.
Take it and enjoy it.
Total of 20 initiative.
Very nice. Alrighty, and just checking the creature's initiative. Alright, Sadra, you go first.
Okay, she is going to go ahead and cast Smite on one of the red creatures, whichever one is closest.
Yes, okay. And as you focus inward and hold out your hand and mentally focus on the weaker points of this creature, you get a strong feeling that this... Yes, this is a creature that should be fought.
All right. Then that will be, and this is, I'm guessing, a evil outsider.
It, if from the non knowledge check standpoint, it seems like it would be a proper guess.
Okay,
you could make a knowledge check to determine a little bit more specifically.
I tell you what, I will just leave that up to the surprise when it comes to rolling damage.
Okay.
All right, so she will take her first shot. In fact, she's just going to shoot it 3 times because I expect that it will probably take 3 shots at least. So... All right... That's not a good set. So that would be a 13 to touch, a 9 to touch, and a 16 to touch.
Okay. The 13 and the 16 do hit. The 9 does not.
All right. All right, then we'll go ahead and roll damage, and this is with holy damage.
Yes, and as it does damage, it does seem to reel back as if it were an evil outsider.
All right, awesome. So that is going to be 15 plus 16, 31 points of damage for the first shot.
Very nice.
And... 12 plus 16 is 28 points of damage for the second shot.
Very nice. As you take your 2 shots, it hits the creature's center mass, and you recognize the familiar...
Oh, yes. I did not add my smite bonus to attack.
You should do that.
So would that 9 plus 7 would have been a 16?
16 would have hit, yes.
Okay, awesome. Okay, that is good. So that's going to be 16 plus 16 is another 32 points of damage.
Hey, okay. So you step into the room, look at this creature, and in your heart of hearts, you know it's an evil outsider, and you just immediately, quickly just fire three quick shots from the hip. As your gun seems to take on a golden, fiery aura around it. And as all three shots lay into it, it seems to just fall backwards and float into the air as its essence is burned away.
Sweet. And that means I get a grit back.
All right. Up next is Mew. He's gonna try and put this creature to sleep, cause it's not an undead. It's not an elf. It's one of the few things that this actually works on. Hey, and the creature, it, you watch as it holds out an arm and claw threateningly. It takes two steps forward before dropping to the ground and going and taking a nice little nap. All right, and those were the only two creatures in this room.
Aren't there the people doing research?
They are, but as you look at them, they do appear to be just the Echo people. They look scared, and they look around as these crazy creatures kept them from escaping at a normal time and threatened them, never touched them, but threatened to do horrible things to them if they didn't do research for them. And now it appears that they're free as some creatures, or at least a creature that they've never seen before, came in and just absolutely disintegrated one. And the other one just is taking a nap. And they're not exactly sure what to do about the one taking a nap. So, like, if it wakes up, it'll probably kill us. But they turn to you and they're like, Who are you?
It's all right. You're safe now. And Cedra is going to step up unless somebody else does it first, and she's going to coup de grace the one that's on the ground.
Oh, yeah. He's
just a shot to the head.
Yeah, he's just sleeping, and you send him back to the abyss. In fact, yeah, he would have been a cold creature, so yeah, he doesn't even go back to the abyss. He's just burned out of existence. There's one less demon in the multiverse.
Then with a resounding shot into him, she looks to all of them and says, "You're safe now." And then she's just going to turn around to leave.
Yeah, they immediately stream around you and run out of the building. And head as far out of the building as they can go. Basically booking it for the gate platform so they can get to the Great Beyond, because they did not want to be left behind. Okay, well, that was significantly faster than was initially anticipated.
Can you take a quick look around the room?
Go for it. Please do.
So there's a lot of natural twos tonight. That's only a 15 total.
Okay. Yeah, the room looks mostly tossed. This is what the room looks like. Well, at least the layout of the room. The elves did seem to be working on additional notes, additional papers. But they're all in Elvish, unfortunately. They look really interesting, too. And yes, you do also notice there is a door in the southern wall.
That would have caught Sadra's attention.
Okay.
She'll go ahead and check the door for traps.
Okay.
So 27.
All right. You check the door for traps. Once again, oddly enough, no traps, but... and also not locked.
She will still listen to see if she hears anyone on the other side.
You do hear the sound of very heavy... actually, perception check, please.
That is a 29.
29, okay, yes. You do hear the sound of very deeply resonant, very deep, heavy breathing.
Truman, Mew, something big is on the other side of this door.
That's not encouraging. But one way or another. Do we try to find another way, or do we try and make our way through it?
Sadra's going to look at the bottom of the door. Is there a crack? And if so, is there any light coming from the other room, or does it seem dark?
There seems to be the same familiar dim light coming from the other side of the room. Everything here is muted, but it's just the nature of the world itself.
I'm not sure there's any other way into this part of the building. The other room across from here that we were in didn't have a second door.
This is true. It's a risk one way or another. At the very least, we know that there's something in the room.
Bruman, would you want to use an invisibility potion? We could throw the door open and then stand back, and after the first few moments, you could slip in and take a look.
I could. Or I could send another scout just to peek the head in. More specifically, peek her head in. As she has in no uncertain terms let me know.
She could probably even stay underneath the door and not even be seen, right?
This is what I'm hoping. Is that okay with the rest of you?
By all means.
Alright. And you see Mew reaches into his vest and pulls out Lambda, his tiny little house centipede. And you see he whispers to her, says, "Shit, let us know what you find. If it's big or dangerous, at least we can get an idea of what we face before we face it." And you watch as he bends down, lets the house centipede onto the ground. And Lambda very quickly scurries under the door. You wait for about 6 seconds before Lambda seems to be full round running back. And Mew has to actually chase her down for a moment before he can catch her. And he whispers to her, says, what was it? What did you see? And you see his eyes widen as he looks to the rest of the group, and he says, "She only came back with one word. Dragon."
Do we think Dragon has the key?
I don't know, but I think it would be wisest for us to wait for the others before we attempt to face whatever's behind this door.
I would tend to agree.
Then I hope that they get here soon.
She kind of looks out one of the side windows at the hole in the sky.
I don't know how much more time we're going to have.
Yes, and as you watch and look out at the hole in the sky, you do very quickly realize that that strange orange star is far closer. At first, it could just be covered with your thumb. But now it's about the size of a baseball. I can only hope they come quickly indeed. All right, and I think if we are going to wait for the others to return, we can end it there.
All right. Good game.
Good game, guys. Good job, Sadra.
It's a good thing we brought Sadra along.
Yeah. We would have been, can you imagine how much more trouble we would have been if she weren't here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, I'm telling you guys, it's a good thing that Katsu, you know, broke the Kintuk's laws of planar travel and portal making and kidnapped Sadra from the void.
Of course. Yeah. But yeah, this is technically how dangerous the drow are supposed to be. Fail one save and you're out. I mean, the DC is relatively low, but if you roll low, it can happen. But fortunately, you guys have had Zapanda the entire time, and she's just been like, nope, we're just going to ignore all types of drought poison.
Which is amazing.
Yes, it really is.
Yeah.
I was so worried during that fight that I would roll a natural one for that fortitude save.
Yeah. At that point, it would have been bad, guys. Would have been bad, because more than likely, you would have woken up in a drow prison with all your things taken from you.
Oh, that would have been very kind of them to leave it there.
Of course. But they would be fully intending to bring you back down to the Underdark with them.
Of course.
Not happy things happen there.
Exactly.
That is a whole different campaign.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to start something completely different. Escape from the Underdark.
Well, interestingly enough, if any of them of evil alignment had picked up Sadra's pistol or tried to take it from her, they would have instantly suffered a negative level until they put it down. As long as they were holding it, they would have had a negative level.
They probably would have picked it up, saw that it burned them, and then just thrown it away. They're like, it's a cursed gun, guys. This is terrible. Why would we want this? Yeah, that could have been it, guys. Because if you had ended up in the prison, either your friends would have had to have come save you, or you would have missed the time limit and got to experience Earthfall up close and personal.
Neither sounds like a particularly good option.
But not if really. Drow had taken us below in time for Earthfall, we could have survived it.
Perhaps, but they weren't planning on taking you back to the Argon's Echo Underdark. They were planning on taking you back to the normal Underdark. Yeah. But it didn't happen!
And cue sigh of relief.
Yes. So hopefully next time we can play with more than three people.
That would probably be helpful.
Indeed. And I'm glad you guys actually decided to stop and listen at that door instead of just kicking it in, because, yeah, considering that there's a, well, you know, at least moderately intelligent creature that heard sounds of instant death from the other room and is, you know, getting prepared for stuff.
I'd like to think that we learn from our mistakes. you know, check everything for traps.
Indeed. And
after opening a door without listening first, well, we're going to listen to everything now.
Yep. Yeah, so hopefully the others come back quickly, because I can almost guarantee you the three of us against a dragon, unless the dragon just rolled really poorly, would not have ended well.
Of course, there are other rooms to explore before we get to the dragon, right?
Of course. And other rooms that you possibly will not find, considering that you guys have been rolling really low on your perception checks, so.
It was the night of twos.
Yes, indeed. Hopefully we will roll better next week.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, but you guys are, getting close to the beginning. You guys are at the beginning of the end. This is the last day in Armageddon's Echo. It's do or die time. So two more sessions, I would assume. And then, yeah, you guys will have found the secrets of the plane that was lost to time.
All right, well, that was a good game. It was unfortunate that we didn't have everybody, though.
Indeed. And I'm looking forward to having everyone back for next week.